Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Simcast, your weekly source for occasional sim racing news, general tomfoolery, and off-topic discussion. Just depends on how we're feeling this week. It's episode 22 of our 2022 season for June 2nd. Any more twos would be in Timbuktu. Anyway, I am, of course, Mr. Ben Williams, and joining me this week is my ever-faithful psychic, Mr. Louis Satterley.
Hello, Ben. So we discovered something before the show.
We're going to get to that.
Oh, and, okay. And yeah.
Returning from his sickness, and unfortunately we forgot to change the locks again, so he got back in the US booth. Mr. Jordan Groves is here again.
Hello. Yes, I'm well now, and I don't sound like Darth Vader. So wins all round, really.
Yes.
Yes, but I think we need to kick you back out after what we learned before the show.
Look, I'm not going to subscribe to your prejudice against me for not partaking in Tex-Mex food.
For those who are wondering what we're talking about, because we haven't actually said it yet, Jordan revealed to me and Lewis a couple minutes ago that he doesn't like tacos.
Well, I mean, it's not that, like, I'm from the UK, and I'm sure we don't do tacos as well as the US does them, and then by extension how, like, Mexico do them. So,
yeah. So dear listener, yeah. That is at Jordan Groves on Twitter. Mostly UK folks that do enjoy Tex-Mex tacos, or just tacos in general. I'm sure y'all can do them quite well.
But, like, considering, like, the only proper fast food establishment that does tacos here is a very select number of Taco Bells. I think we can all agree that Taco Bell doesn't do it properly.
It does. No, Taco Bell is where you go to go ahead and get cleaned out.
When you
that's all I'm going to say on that
one. You can't afford aquatic irrigation, you go to Taco Bell.
Before my co-hosts get us canceled, you can follow us on Twitter at the Simcast Radio. Tell us what you think about tacos using the hashtag SimcastRSL. And of course, the three of us here and our other host, Mr. Matt Hunter, are all members of the Midweek Motorsports Collective.
And also use the hashtag Eat More Tacos. Ugh.
Yes, of course. Anyway, so following 2 weeks where we had sim racing news to talk about, but not a lot of sim racing news to talk about, the floodgates, the proverbial floodgates, have been opened. And now we literally have two pages of stuff to talk about tonight's show. Yeah, not a lot of off-topic discussion this week, even though we just talked about tacos for 3 minutes. So if you're here for the off-topic discussion, A, thank you. We're glad we can keep you entertained for several minutes talking about nonsense. And in the same way, sorry. Anyway.
Before we get into the diving into the show, I got one more off-topic thing that is actually semi-on-topic.
Okay.
Dear listener, I finally got the wheel.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. We did.
Yes.
Mr. Satterley has been rubbing it in my face all week that he has gotten his hands on the Thrustmaster SF-1000.
Yes. And, oh my gosh, this thing is gorgeous.
Isn't it?
I feel I haven't actually unlocked its full potential yet. And, I mean, I had the old F1 wheel that they've made that had the fake knobs on there. But now I'm looking at all these knobs and switches because every single one of them work. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with all these.
Yep, that's exactly what I had. But, like, you very quickly expand to fit the number of inputs you have. Like,
I was going to say,
I have a button box and I don't use it anymore.
I was going to say, I'm literally at the point right now to where I'm, like, starting to use bits and bobs inside of R-Factor that I never used before.
Hmm.
And it's just like, oh, I could do that now. Oh, that is, oh, that's great. That's great. Oh, yes. Yes.
It's such a good wheel. And we really could easily spend the entire show rubbing it in Ben's face because we both have one and he doesn't. But
before I descend into a pit of self-loathing and jealousy, let's go ahead and get started with sim racing news. So
I was going to say, I even got mine from England, too. So
best way.
Yeah. Anyway. I guess we're not allowed to talk anymore, Jordan.
Let's move on.
So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Rennsport, which is apparently going to be the next or the latest and greatest, newest, I'm running out of ists, sim racing title that's going to be developed. And there was some speculation and discussion about whether or not that the title was going to include NFTs just because of the way some things were worded. And if when you read the press release in full, it became a little bit more clear that it wasn't really NFTs, but I maintained that they could have used better verbiage, but that's not a here or there and not what we're talking about. Last weekend, there was close to 100 esports professionals and sim racing content creators were invited out to Germany, where Rennsport is based out of, which should not be a surprise considering that their two main cars are a Porsche and a BMW, and that their main track right now is Hockenheim. Should not be a surprise to you.
Shocker!
Anyway, yes, these 100 or so sim racing plugged-in people got hands-on with the title, and apparently it's been pretty transparent about what they can, that they pretty much can talk about everything, what they experienced. And we've learned quite a bit of a lot of interesting information, haven't we, Jordan?
Yeah, there's a lot. Like, I feel a lot of the initial reaction to Rennsport was heavy skepticism based on not a lot of information. We've got a lot of information now, and a lot of people have started coming around to the idea that this could be quite good. Obviously, still in alpha. There's still a long way to go before this is done or anywhere near getting to us. Yeah. But the initial framework looks good. Like, to cover the very basics, the graphics look really good. It's on Unreal Engine 5.
I was going to say, it's Unreal Engine 5, so it's going to look amazing, because if you've been seeing the really real hyper realistic footage that's been coming out of the Unreal Engine 5 over the last couple, and it's been the last couple of weeks, where it's like, there's no way this could be a video game, but it is.
Yeah, it's really impressive, and obviously there is still some more work to be done on the game, and it already looks. I'd be happy if the game came out in its current state.
Yeah. We've seen a fair amount of sim racing titles that don't look this good in beta that this game looks in alpha.
Yeah, so I think what the graphics are needn't be a concern, because by the time they're released, it's going to be awesome. The physics is obviously a very important thing. What was quite encouraging was the 100 people that they invited to this summit, only about 10 were content creators and the rest were top-level esports drivers. And that's a really good mix, because you then get really accurate and informed feedback on the physics.
I maintain that if you're building a sim racing title, whether it's a full-on like hyper-realistic sim or even I'm just going to use this term even though I'm not a fan of it, SimK title, the way you do that is to bring in the guys who are the fastest on other titles or in previous version of said title to come in and literally try to break it for you.
Yeah. And we've heard like the amount of laps that these esports guys have logged over that weekend is insane. So
like even apparently during downtime, they were still lined up to play the game more.
So they have got a lot of data from this summit, so I think we can be quite encouraged by that. They did point out some things. Curbs were a major buzzword of things that they didn't like. They were far too vicious in some cases, but the overall feedback is that the cars, they only really had access to two cars, the Porsche GT3 and a BMW M4 GT3, and the general feedback was that they felt believable. They felt very similar to other titles. Couldn't say whether it was any better or worse, or not better, but close.
If I'm remembering correctly, they said it's physics-wise, it's kind of in the middle between R-Factor 2 and ACC.
Yeah, which is a really good place to be as well.
I mean, there's plenty of worse places you can be. Oh, that's 100%. A pretty good one.
Yeah, you could be NASCAR 21.
Or you could be Project Cars 3.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
We don't talk about
Project. I was going to do that. What else did we learn from there? We learned a little
number
bit
of
more
days
about...
since Encanto incident.
I've just forgotten about that as well. So thank you, Ben. But yeah, we also learned. We don't know too much more about what content is in the game as of yet. As I said, the only ones they could play were the 2 GT3 cars. But we did learn another track that's in the game, and I'm quite excited about this. So there was a little bit of a concern that was this going to be just another GT3 focused sim, because that was all we had seen so far, that and Hockenheim. But the developers had said that they wanted to diversify into open wheel, historical content, etc. And I think the potential diversity of the content they have is highlighted by the other track that they have, which is Goodwood Hill Climb.
Yeah. Which,
as a massive fan of the Goodwood Festival of Speed and the hill climb itself, that's absolutely fantastic. And the brief gameplay that we've got from Goodwood, having been there last year, it looks spot on. It's quite unbelievable how good they've got it. And this was something that they echoed, people who played the game echoed with Hockenheim, that the track felt more alive than perhaps some other tracks and other sims do. It felt like there was an event going on around it. Like there were just all the little... the little aspects of like diamond screens in the right place, people moving in the right place, recovery vehicles, it felt more like a living, breathing venue. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so if the range that we have already, we've got at one end Hockenheim and one end a hill climb, that they could go for so much in terms of variety of content here. So I'm excited
the
course of the next few months. And we already know that they're set to confirm, I think they said at least another 3 more major manufacturer partnerships within the next 3 months. So I'm sure that we will get a lot more in terms of content. And I'm excited.
They also, taking full advantage of their Porsche partnership, they also confirmed that the Porsche Mission R will be included in Rennsport. For those who don't know, the Mission R is basically, it's a concept developed by Porsche to kind of look at to see what all electric racing will look like in the future. It's got something ridiculous like 1,080 horsepower, something along those lines, from two different electric motors that, because the way that it's designed to, because of the way its cooling is designed, it's actually going to be able to do full race distances, like we've been kind of seeing with Formula E recently.
Yeah, I mean, and to put it into perspective, this Mission R, I think, generates 800 kilowatts of power, whereas Formula E's Gen 3 is 280 kilowatts. So, and those cars are not slow.
that's what, 475, 500 horsepower, something like that?
Something like, I'm not too sure on the conversion, but it's got a lot of go. So,
it's going to have astronomical amount of torque, I would imagine.
I'm excited to see. And again, that's another check in the box for diversity of content already. The fact that we've got GT3s and then you've got this all-electric prototype racing car.
Gen 2 is 335 brake horsepower.
Yeah.
So, I could never remember the freaking conversion.
A lot of horsepower.
Yeah.
Some of the other things that we found out, so to briefly touch on the NFT thing.
Yes, I found this really funny that literally one of the first things that Rennsport CEO, his name's escaping me at the moment.
Maurice Habecker.
Thank you. One of the first things he said was that it's not a explicative NFT game.
I'm glad they did this because, you touched on it before that there was a bit of confusion as to whether this was going to be an NFT because of the way they worded it.
Yeah.
And it was clear that they wanted to get that. That was one of the first things they said in this summit, reportedly, was it's not a explicative NFT game. So it's good that they distanced themselves from that. What it actually is...
And I find this interesting.
It's quite an really interesting idea. I'll be interested to see where it goes. It's the content, some of the content that you own in the game, user-generated content. Certain parts of the content within the game that you'll be able to acquire will have their own IDs, like they call it an EVIN and a digital logbook, for example.
Yeah.
And you would be able to sell user-generated content within the game for money. And the key way that they've said so far that this could work is, for example, modding, because they intend on enabling modding for this game, is being able, like within the game, to sell your mods. And I think that's a really good idea, because we've seen with Assetto Corsa how much the modding community can benefit a game and how much revenue it generates. Like, how many people buy Assetto Corsa now because of the modding community?
Yeah.
Whereas the vast majority of mod creators, there are some that charge, but the vast majority don't charge. So it seems only fair that you would be able to generate some revenue within the mods, but and be able to reward the mod creators by giving them a slice of the pie.
Mm-hmm. So I think absolutely. That's quite
cool. Speaking of another ingenious way of potentially making money, the sponsorship thing.
Yeah, so something that I believe it was Niles Nijux, and I'm butchering the pronunciation of his name.
That wasn't too far off.
Yeah, pointed out was that whenever you were loading into the sim during, well, sim, game, whatever you want to call it, when you're loading into the game in this alpha stage that they were testing, it seemed like the off-track advertisements that you see along the circuit, so Michelin signs, Porsche signs, usually on iRacing, it's like an iRacing banner or something along those lines. Those were loading in secondly to the rest of the game environment, meaning that potentially under the way that Rent Sport has kind of designed this, is that if you're having a esports competition that has a sponsor, the organizers will be able to literally have that sponsor's logo trackside, so that it's showing up in the racing action.
That's a neat trick.
Yeah, as another way of showing sponsors on during the broadcast, besides like having it in the broadcast package, or having the logos on the cars or something along those lines. Yeah. I find that really interesting, both as someone who, you know, I organize a lot of Forza events in my free time, and have worked with people who want sponsors to be represented during competitions, and as both as someone who is interested in seeing the realm of sim racing esports continue to grow as it really has over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it surprises me that this hasn't been a thing already.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I agree with that.
Sponsors are clamoring over sim racing right now. There's a reason that sim racing has grown exponentially over the last few years. It's because investors are seeing it as a viable pit to put their money. That's just the way the world works. We'd like to think that this is all fueled by passion, but excuse me, money makes the world go round. So
it does
surprise me that other games haven't done this. The only iteration I can think of is the Sim Racing GP Virtual TCR Championship last year came bundled with a version of the Nürburgring that had different sponsors at the side of the track. That's the closest thing I can think of.
That was something that I was just like, it just occurred to me. It's where it's like, well, there are certain mods within AC that you can change the skin of the track depending on what you have downloaded. Like, I think I have four different versions of Daytona, for instance.
Yeah. Yeah, and it surprises me, especially with like with iRacing. You see quite often the series that they offer have sponsors, like the European Sprint Series, for example, off the top of my head, is sponsored by Pure Drive, or Pure Sim, whichever one it is. The only way we see the Haggerty series,
exactly. Yeah.
Now, the only point that we see that is when you go to register for the series. You don't see anything of it in the game. So the ability for perhaps let's take iRacing for an example. You're racing at Montreal in IMSA, for example, because Montreal's recently been there, I don't know. And you have your Pure Sim sponsorship on the side of the track when you load into that series, and then you want to do that track in F3, and then it loads up the Fanatec sponsorship, for example. It surprises me that other games aren't cottoning onto that. And I think the thing Rennsport is still very early in its development, and we've already seen how wild the people's expectations have been for that just over the last few months whilst we've been learning information.
Yeah.
Whether Rennsport succeeds ultimately is one thing, but a lot of the ideas that they have been promoting, not just the sponsorship thing, but also the way that they unveiled the game via the summit and how open they were, I think a lot of their ideas and the way they're approaching things will transfer out to other partnerships, other Sims rather.
Yeah,
I don't think it will be very long before we see more Sims implementing this trackside sponsorship thing, because in my mind, that's just, I have no idea why that hasn't been done before, because it's such a unobtrusive and lifelike thing to have at the side of the track.
Yeah.
We all can picture a racetrack with advertising boards at the side. So why don't more partners of sim racing or investors make more use of that? So I think that's a really clever idea that they've got there.
Yeah. I'm also annoyed that I didn't think of that myself, if I'm honest.
I was going to say, I'm sure everybody is now that they've seen Rennsport do it.
It's just such an obvious thing to do. It shocks me that the particularly the people that care more about the profit margins haven't thought of that. So
yeah,
I'm sure it won't be long before we see that in other Sims. It's such a good idea.
Instead, they just plaster their own company branding on top of it.
And who knows? Like,
Or it's like whatever the track was scanned, whatever was there is what gets put into the game.
Yeah, and we've seen that iRacing have done some track updates that have just been like, they haven't been whole new releases. They've just updated some of the visuals, and sometimes they do the sponsorships. So it wouldn't surprise me if they do that. And you know, from a skeptical point of view, or I'll get onto the skeptical part of this. If you're able to get more money from investors and advertisers by having these boards in, then maybe that could mean that the price for content will come down.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. It won't happen because, of course, everyone will just see that as an extra avenue for income and not to reduce the amount of money for the consumer. But, you know, that's just hypothetically something that could happen from it. So.
I can't wait. if we're going to be taking a skepticism side for the moment, I can't wait until we're reporting on how a Rennsport car was sold for 100,000 actual US dollars or something along those lines.
Yeah, because they did like didn't they, about the
Rennsport 8 hours of Hockenheim winning Porsche or something along those lines.
Yeah, like you could sell it and base a value off of it based off of its achievements.
Yeah.
Now, I think the interesting thing to come from that will be if there are people that are genuinely willing to pay that money. It's the same thing with NFTs. Like, there are people out there with enough money that they invest in these stupid things. So it will be interesting to see if anybody allows that to become a viable market or not. I don't think it will, honestly.
I don't think it's content either,
available to everyone anywhere. Who cares? Like, it's not the same as having a real race-winning car in real life, because you can't do what you did just because you have their car.
I've seen gamers get, and I'm using gamers as a blanket term here, I've seen gamers get finicky and pedantic about other things, like car liveries, for example, where it's like, it wouldn't surprise me if that happened, but at the same way, I can see it not happening.
Yeah. But it's all very interesting. I am very excited to learn more about Rennsport in the coming months.
And Rennsport, if you're doing another event like this, please feel free to invite us. I mean, just throw it out there. Yeah. We're all very
One of these days, we're going to throw that out there, and we're actually going to get invited to one of these things.
We just got to keep trying.
Yep.
Well, you know what's going to happen when that actually does? It's like, all right, who's going? I'll fight you for it.
Yeah, but it'll probably be like Project Cars 4. And then we'll I'm not going to that.
As my grandfather used to say, you're never going to catch any fish unless you're throwing out your line. So,
yeah, don't go trolling for fish and be angry when you snag a moron. I know.
Anyway, so obviously we'll be paying more attention to Rennsport in the future. And I'm not going to say that I'm fully like, okay, I'm excited for this game now, but I'm less pessimistic about it than I was.
Yeah, skepticism is good, because we've all been burnt by various titles. I read
Project Cars,
Project Cars, you know, NASCAR Ignition, for example. So skepticism is fine, but I think the problem was that Rennsport, because it was an entirely new title, people didn't know what to expect, so they naturally just kind of maybe were a little bit too skeptical. But now we know more. It's a little bit more.
We know more, and I'm still pretty skeptic myself. But that's just me personal.
Yeah, that's fine. Skepticism is healthy, but when it's always good to wait until you have something to look at before you are too skeptical of it. Yep. So.
Exactly.
What was your favorite actress's line from Spider-Man, Jordan?
It was the always expect disappointment, or something like that, and then you'll never be. Or expect the worst and you'll never be disappointed. That was it.
Yeah.
We're not going to get onto that actress.
We're trust me, dear listener, I am saving you from...
This is a family show.
Yes. This is a family show.
Let's move on.
And I am saving all of you.
Let's move on very, very quickly before we get on.
So, iRacing.
iRacing, yes.
Yes. So, it is now June. It is now June.
Damn, already.
Yeah, I know. Which means that the Season 3 update for iRacing will be coming out next week.
Woo-hoo.
And we already know some of the content that we're going to expect. Particularly...
Not all of it.
Just some. Yeah. Particularly, the biggest one is that Sandown Raceway is going to be coming to iRacing next week. And there is much rejoicing.
Yes, that is really cool. Yeah, we knew earlier, I think it was late last year, they confirmed that we would be getting a couple of Australian tracks. I think at the time it was Winton and Sandown, and obviously we had Winton in the last build. Mm-hmm. I think Sandown, I think it's fair to say, is the more exciting one of the two, because it's a much more famous venue than Winton, and it's a much better track.
And it's not very heavily featured in anything.
No, I'm trying to think the last official game it would have been in, I think, was Toka Race Driver 3.
Yeah, with the V8 supercars.
Yeah, so it's been a long time coming. And obviously there's a lot of interest within iRacing, within the Supercars Championship. Obviously you've got the E-Series coming up as well.
Yep.
And yeah, it's good to see them expanding their Australian content. Although I still kind of want Sydney Motorsports Park in Adelaide and stuff like that. But you'll never please us. But yeah, we know that Sandown is coming, and we also know that both Sandown and the V8 supercars are going to be available for AI racing at launch as well. So that'll be really good
for
perhaps the people who are getting into iRacing now in Australia because they are expanding their Australian portfolio. Mm-hmm. That will be a good way for them to learn is to go AI racing as well. So that's pretty cool.
Also something that I think I must have missed whenever they announced the Supercar Pro E Series was that Australian fans are actually going to have a chance to win an esports drive in a competition within the next couple of weeks after Sandown is released.
Yeah, I believe it's some kind of time trial event, maybe? Something like that?
I would assume so, yes.
Ah, yeah, the Pizza Hut Pro E-Series driver set.
That is not a sponsor that I expected to be associated with supercars, but continue.
other pizzas are available. Yes, it doesn't say the full format, I think. I'll have a brief scan. Oh, hang on, here we go. Yes, it's a time attack. So okay.
The winning driver will compete for Pizza Hut Racing?
Yep.
Now you know why.
That better come with free pizza, otherwise I'm
interested. If not, a really good job at delivering pizzas, one of the two.
That just reminds me of KFC Gaming and the confusion that I had whenever that was announced.
Was that the one where they had like a little heater or something to put your chicken in so it stayed warm while you gamed?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And now it's like a full-blown thing.
It's amazing. I just they never fail. But yeah, so that's the thing. If you're into
Australian racing
and you're Australian,
they never fail.
Then enter that, I guess. other iRacing, so far what we know is coming in the next build is Sandown and I-55. I believe we confirmed that a couple of weeks ago that I-55 is coming in.
I believe so. Yeah.
I don't think we know anything else just yet. We might be getting the Mercedes, but that, I don't know whether
that's
too early.
I went poking around the iRacing forums earlier, and this is what about...
I went on the internet today.
So we know Sandown. We know that there will be some updates to the next gen car. Or at least there's some idea there'd be some updates to the next gen update. The more series, the 4, I think they're 4 hour long endurance races with the GT4 and TCR. That's going to be officially renamed to the IMSA Pilot Challenge. GT4 Challenge will be splitting into an open slash fixed series. Touring cars will be also splitting into a fixed slash open series. The Global Endurance Series is going to be returning, which I believe that
was their get around of having a 24-hour Le Mans last year. So
yeah, okay.
It was a series.
That sounded familiar.
It was a series of longer endurance races as a part of a championship, so that it wasn't a standalone event, and therefore they couldn't be accused of having a standalone Le Mans. It's all good political stuff, but in terms of new content. The only thing we know is Sandown and I-55 so far. So I'm sure between now and next week's show, we'll have a lot more teasers shown. Just in the lead up to the show, they released the actual trailer for Sandown. So I'm assuming over the next few days, we'll be getting a lot more of the same.
Yeah, and there's also that Mercedes GT4 that we keep hearing about.
Yeah, so I imagine we might get that because the shot we saw of that was an actual finished car.
Yeah.
Whereas the shots of, say... Fuji were very early, and Magny-Cours were very early development shots, so I can't imagine we'll get them yet, but we should probably get the Mercedes. However, something that we're getting in a long while, or next year, on iRacing, is yesterday it was announced, a new championship was announced in real life, the Toyota GR86 Cup. And I believe this is a North American-based series run by the SRO. Your standard production-based or slightly race-modified
GT5-ish. Car series.
Yeah, that's the best way of putting it. Revolving around the GR86 Cup car. And alongside this announcement, they confirmed that the GR86 Cup car will be coming to iRacing in 2023.
Yay!
That's pretty cool.
I find that interesting for a couple of different reasons. First of all, it's SRO, so you would assume that something for the SRO is going to go straight to ACC.
You would imagine, yeah.
Yeah. Secondly, it's Toyota, so if it's
you would
something
think Gran Turismo.
Toyota, you would think that would go instantly to Gran Turismo. So it's like these two companies with partnerships at different sim titles are putting this new content into not their sim titles.
It's very interesting, that they've gone to one that you wouldn't necessarily expect, but I'm very happy of it because
I mean,
there is a market within iRacing to have more production based championships because you either have MX5s, which are great.
Maybe this will finally replace the stupid Solstice or the Jetta.
That's the market I'm thinking of, because the only other thing other than MX5s, that similar power band that isn't open wheel, you have our very old content in the form of the Solstice, the Jetta, and the Mustang, whatever that was.
I think
it's a GT4-ish.
It's like GT5.7.
Yeah, so similar to this kind of thing. that kind of power band of tin top racing is something that needed expanding on, so I think this will fit the bill quite nicely. But interesting. I'm assuming that this will probably come to ACC being an SRO based championship, and I'm assuming it will come to Gran Turismo based on it being a Toyota. But it's cool that they are willing to have that licensed out to other sims and not just keep it within the same ecosystem. And I'm definitely not thinking of Motorsport Games with Le Mans when I say that.
Maybe this will be a gateway for ACC finally getting the GT4 Supra.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. I can hear much rejoicing with that. So we've got to wait a while for this. It says 2023, so I would assume that the earliest.
That's we'll only get 6 months away at this point.
Yeah, you make a very good point. It is June all of a sudden. So I would assume that, you know, season one for 2023 technically is in December. So we could get it then, but more likely it will be in the March kind of area content drop. So a little while to wait, but it's going to be worth it because that it looks like it's going to be a hell of a lot.
You know, arguably we could also see it this year because of the way that iRacing numbers their stuff. The December update is would be the
yeah, that's what I just
season
said,
one 2020. Okay, sorry, I was reading something else.
That's fine. I know I'm uninteresting.
But I mean, you said it, not me. anyway, so yeah, it's like, didn't expect to read that today, and here we are. Anyway, as we've got about 25 minutes left in tonight's show, we're doing pretty good.
We're doing well.
Two topics.
Yeah.
We've gotten down through two of our six topics.
We're getting the top heavy ones out of the way as well.
Yeah, we're getting the top heavy ones out of the way first. So anyway, moving on, F1 2022. So we've been talking about what news has slowly been coming out about F1 2022 the last couple weeks. We've talked
about... I'm
going to
have to talk you straight away because it's F1 22.
Yeah. Oops.
We've got to put a coin in the swear jar.
F1 22.
They took out the 20 for a reason, goddammit. We got to respect it.
Thanks, EA. Yeah, we earlier this week, we had a feature trailer drop about F1 22. It had stuff that we kind of already knew about, some new stuff that we kind of really didn't know about. And there was a lot of Winky Mystic style, like, kind of information at some points during the video. Some of the stuff we already knew about, we already knew that there were going to be circuit updates for Spain. We already knew there was going to be circuit updates for Australia. We already knew there would be circuit updates for Abu Dhabi. We kind of already got a sense of what the immersive broadcast stuff was going to be looking like. We actually did get some information about the pit stop errors, but all in all, it's... like, it's interesting to see the direction that EA is going to be taking this, even though it's still, you know, Codemasters, but it's EA, let's be honest. And also, it seems like we got a little bit more information about F1 Life, which, again, I'm still not feeling.
Yeah, I really don't care about this, but it's there if you want it. We saw a little bit more of what's going to be available within F1 Life to customize, and sure enough, you know, you can pick. So essentially, just to recap what F1 Life is, it's like an in-game hub where you can show off content that you have.
To sell microtransactions.
Yeah, pretty much. But you can still earn them without paying them. So those are the kind of microtransactions I don't mind.
Five times longer, but...
Yeah, but when it doesn't actually impact the gameplay, because it doesn't matter what clothes you're wearing when you're driving a car. Mm. Like, I don't care about microtransactions in that sense because only idiots will buy it. So, yeah. we've seen in the trailer that you can buy different sofas to have in this area, different artwork to put on the wall, different hats and clothes. The only interesting thing, I suppose, is the supercars that are in the game. But even then, you're only going to be able to drive them in invitational events and career mode and time trial. However, the cars they have are quite cool. We've got the two that I care about are the Aston Martin and the Mercedes safety cars. But it's kind of cool that they've got them in the game, you know, whatever. But we've also got I won't list them all, but we have supercars from Mercedes, Aston Martin, McLaren, Ferrari, the ones you would expect to be in the game at this point because they're the manufacturers that are involved. Those are fine because you can actually drive them places, but you know, how much they will be accurately represented, I don't know.
Honestly, the whole F1 Life thing, I'm getting a I feel for trying to compete with like what Forza Horizon 5 has been doing with their like character customization, but in the same way, in an open world game like Horizon 5, that makes sense.
Yeah,
in exactly. A circuit, like purely circuit based racing game.
Yeah, it's really unneeded in this kind of game. Yeah, as you say, in open world games, it makes more sense. And, you know, I would say that F1 does it slightly better because you can customize those things and change colors and stuff like that, whereas Horizon's very limited in what you can buy cosmetics wise. But again, it's an F1 game. It really doesn't need that kind of customization. So yeah, nobody really cares about that. Only other thing that there were some slight things that were leaked or revealed that we didn't know already. The Champions Edition of the game, you may remember in the last few games in my team, you've had the option to have additional drivers that you could sign as teammates that weren't mm-hmm. necessarily on F2 or F1 grids. This year, the Champion Edition will come with the option to have Jacques Villeneuve, Mark Webber, and Nico Hülkenberg as playable, or not playable drivers, recruitable teammates, I should say. Mm. annoyingly, it also says the Champions Edition will include the two drivable safety cars, so I guess I would need to actually spend more money to get to the two cars that I actually care about.
And when you do that, you can let us know how they are.
I won't be doing that, so that's good. I like the idea of having a safety cars, but I'm not going to pay extra for them. The other thing that was confirmed that was quite interesting. So we've known for a little bit now, and I don't think we really mentioned it on the show, that there will be classic tracks, classic in inverted commas, because we don't.
Yeah, know I don't think we are. Yeah, I don't think we've talked about this yet.
There will be classic tracks available as DLC post launch. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Now we were theorizing that these would likely be the likes of Portugal and China, tracks that are on the that have been on the F1 games but aren't on the calendar this year. However, the shots in game of the track list in the trailer show Portugal and China already in the game at standard. So that leads us to think, well, what are we going to get for classic tracks wise? Now I still think it's going to be tracks that we've had recently because they don't want to have to develop whole new tracks that won't be used as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe some people have found in the game files things referring to Germany and Vietnam, so that would align, because you know that they might want to bring in Hanoi because they've got all those assets and it was hardly used because it never raced in real life, and the same with Germany, you know, they've got it ready. But if they're going to have any other kind of DLC tracks, maybe Istanbul, because Codemasters have done that, albeit a while ago, but
yeah,
that's there. Nürburgring as well. That could be the Germany they were talking about, but the one that they most recently had in a game was Hockenheim. So they could also do Nürburgring because that was on the calendar as a replacement race during COVID. Sepang would be good. That's another fan favorite track that they've done semi recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where they go with the DLC. And I think it will be a good experiment to see whether they continue, because traditionally, the F1 games haven't really done post-launch DLC, not paid anyway, because they did have Imola, Jeddah, and Portugal as post-launch DLC. As post-launch releases for last year's game, but mm-hmm. they weren't charged for anything because they were tracks that should have been on the calendar, but they had to have extra time to work on them because they were late additions.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see how many people pick up actual DLC. And then if a lot of people do, then maybe they'll keep doing that in future. And I think that's cool because having more content released throughout the game's life will help it stay relevant for a little bit longer. Yeah.
So here is a ridiculous question.
Mm-hmm.
Could some of these classic tracks include other Codemaster, like tracks that were in other Codemasters games? So, just as an example, and I had to go to make sure that this track was in Grid of Legends, Indianapolis. Could we get some USGP from 2005 action going on here?
It's funny because Indianapolis was one of the ones I've thought of that I would really like to see because I quite like Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen from R Factor 2 and how they've been able to transfer the licenses the developer owns between R Factor 2 and the standalone titles. We've seen that with IndyCar. We've seen that with British Touring Car. Yeah. So from that point of view, there's no reason why not. However, we know Formula One is very, very locked down on its licenses and what mixes where. So I think it would be unlikely that we will see anything that hasn't recently been affiliated with Formula One be in there. F1 last hosted a US Grand Prix at Indianapolis in 2007. However, those contracts have long since gone, whereas contracts and the rights to have those tracks in the games would still exist for tracks like Hanoi and Hockenheim because they are very recent still. So I think it would be great if they could do that, because as you said, it then opens them up to all of the tracks that are within Codemasters' catalog.
Yeah. Granted, most of Grid's catalog was all fictional tracks anyway, so I highly doubt F1 would be interested in that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Brands was in there, and Brands has been in last in an F1 game in 2013 when they had like an older version of Brands from the 1980s. So that would be cool. But again, I would imagine that license has probably expired by now. I don't know. I think it depends on how well the DLC sells this time, whether they might pursue being more adventurous with track DLCs in the future. I'd like to see them do it, though, because, F1 games tend to get quite stale after the first few months, particularly when the real season ends and the new season begins. It tends, the player base tends to drop off massively because it's not as relevant anymore. So if you could release some more DLC throughout the game's lifespan, it might help. So it's interesting. I'm glad that they're doing it as well, because they have these tracks like Portimao and Shanghai, and they could very easily not put them in the game because they're not on the calendar. But the fact that they're looking at actually bringing them in to give us more options, I think that's quite cool. The one that will be interesting, and I'm sure it won't be in there, is Russia, considering everything that's gone on. Obviously, they have the track, but I think that's one that I think we would all be like, yeah, you can leave that one out, because A, Sochi was quite bad anyway, and B, Russia.
Yeah. Russia being the worst is still a thing. Anyway, Lewis, you've been quiet.
He's been plotting.
It's not so much that, but literally everything I want to say, Jordan is literally taking her this whole time. So, at the same time, whatever, you got somebody that's going on a roll, you can't exactly just get them to be like, shut up, I'm talking now. But I mean, pretty much everything that Jordan's saying, the only track that I was thinking of, actually, with what you were mentioning of historic tracks that I think they would have in our catalog, is the old Valencia Street Circuit. As terrible as that one was,
I loved that track for some reason.
Did you really? I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't care for it. But
in real life, they only had that one good race in 2012. But to drive, I don't know why. I always quite enjoyed that track. That's a great shout. I'd forgotten entirely about that.
Yeah,
and of a similar era, you know, you've got the Indian and Korean tracks that were similarly fantastic, but I didn't have a very long lifespan.
Unfortunately.
I'm trying to think of any other tracks that have recently been in games but have dropped off. It would really be Nürburgring and Hockenheim. We're getting one of them, but probably Hockenheim. I can't think of too many more. I'm sure there are other ones that are out there. But dear listener, if you can think of any tracks that you would like to see in the F1 game, let us know. Sepang would be great.
Oh, yeah.
That is a really good track. I used to hate it, but now since it's been gone, I've realized that I quite like that track.
Actually, believe it or not, that's one of my favorite tracks to do an endurance race on R Factor is Sepang.
I forgot that Sepang is on. Well, I know what I'm doing after this.
Yeah, it's a brilliant track to have that kind of racing on. Not to change the topic of what type of cars we're talking about.
Yeah.
Or type of game that we're talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, we only got
way to go, Jordan. You literally took the words right out of my mouth there.
We are so in sync.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to stop somebody who's on a roll with everything that they're saying, and it's literally right on point. It's like, yep.
Gentlemen, we have about 10 minutes left in tonight's show, so We have a couple other things we want to touch on before we get to the Esports Roundup of the Week, brought to you by the Gaming Athletes. So it's not that I'm telling you to end the discussion, but we need to move on. Sorry. Anyway, so in other games that we were skeptical about that we're actually getting some more information about, wish I had thought of that transition earlier, IndyCar 23. So
I'm already seeing a red flag with this.
Well, do you? I'll let you introduce it since you are the IndyCar guy.
I was going to say, Jordan, I think, is just as much of an IndyCar nut as I am.
Literally my favorite championship.
You're both more of an IndyCar nut than I am, so I'll let you handle the particulars about this much. One.
So, yeah, some screenshots were released on this, which a couple of, or at least one of these screenshots of a particular car, I'm not entirely sure if it's from the game or not, because that is literally the exact same livery as one of the default paint jobs in the IndyCar on R-Factor 2. I don't know if you've picked up on that, Jordan.
It's a similar one, but as we've said, the content between R-Factor 2 and the standalone game will just mix anyway. So those are standalone Dallara paints. I'm sure they're just placeholders for until they get the proper liveries in IndyCar 23. Right.
And the other thing that literally just stood out for me, which I don't know why I didn't pay attention to it, though. Now I know this is not from R-Factor 2, because if you look at the tire, what's going right down the center of the tire?
Ooh.
That is not featured in R-Factor 2, so I know for a fact that this comes from the game now that this I just happened to notice that. Guys.
We are on a radio show.
Yeah, so there's a white line, basically, that signifies a brand new sticker tire, which anybody who plays R-Factor knows that they don't go into the detail of putting what's actually on the tread, except for, like, a rain tire or what have you, and they actually have the wear holes that they slightly carve into the carcass that we can see how much tread is left on the tire on there as well. So that's pretty high detail there.
Yeah. And that's just from one shot, ladies and gentlemen, that we have.
Yeah.
Or two shots, I guess. These were all shots that were able to be seen via a QR code at Indianapolis for the 500 last weekend.
Yeah. This is a overall just interesting way to release details about your game.
I'm surprised that they haven't made them more readily available, because has been a lot of skepticism about whether this game would still be coming, given the whole Motorsport Games fallout and the
kerfuffle and stuff. Let's just call it the Motorsport Games kerfuffle.
But these pictures have also been released alongside a couple of tweets that we've gotten from certain people that were scanned for the game at Indianapolis. So we had the first one was Stefan Wilson, who was a really late addition to the Real Race with Cusick Motorsports. He was scanned into the game, which I think that was a good sign that the game is still happening. And then we also got word that Doug Bowles, one of the people behind the scenes at IndyCar in Indianapolis, was scanned for the game. And that's like, why? Because he's not really that much. I can't imagine he's going to have a major role in the game. And then they also scanned
If you're going to talk about people who don't have a major role.
Yeah, I was just getting onto that. Yeah, and then they scanned the Firestone Firehawk.
Excuse me, that guy does have a major role. He puts smiles on kids' faces everywhere at every racetrack.
I am delighted that he is in the game. Or they are in the game, I guess.
I was going to say, you know he's going to just be dancing in the background anytime there's going to be victory lane.
I love that, though.
But I was going to say, because he's dancing in this picture that they've provided.
Yeah, it's so good.
So you know that's what he's going to be doing.
But, like, in a way, this shows the kind of detail that they're going into with this game. You know, there's been a lot of skepticism about whether they have the budget or whether they'll go into that much detail. You know, if they're going to the effort of putting the Firehawk in there, like, come on.
I think this more... Him and Doug being in there, I think, have to do with more with the immersion.
Yeah, 100%.
We don't know what cinematics they're going to do, especially when it comes around to if they have a career mode around the Indy 500.
Yeah, and like the pageantry of the 500 is the whole part of the sketch.
Exactly. So Doug could just simply be somebody that you see in the background being interviewed silently while they're going through all the pageantry stuff, kind of like what they do in the F1 stuff. So they still need his likeness in there. And who knows, he might actually go ahead and give you a whole tour of everything that's going on in the Speedway and bring you right to your garage for all we know. We don't know.
Yeah, and then there might even be a mini game where you get to dance with a Firehawk, you know?
Yeah, there might be.
I'd love that. So,
Dance Revolution with the Firehawk.
Somewhere in a corner, the Michelin Man is seeing this and is feeling really sorry for himself.
His name is Bib, sir.
They are going to be working on the World Endurance Championship game, so there's every chance they might put the Michelin Man in that one.
Hey!
But yeah, so there's not really much else to say about this, apart from, you know, this is some evidence to show that the IndyCar game is still in active development. So whilst the whole Motorsport Games thing is still quite worrying for some things, I think we can still be quite confident that we will be getting the IndyCar game next year. So exciting.
Yes. All right. As we have, we're running quickly out of time. Two quickie pieces of motorsport or sim racing news for everyone. First of all, if you have Gran Turismo 7, you play it on a wheel, you have to be careful with your force feedback settings because they could potentially cause injury.
they've updated it now to temporarily tone down these forces for the wheels that had these issues. But yeah, if you haven't played GT7 and haven't updated it yet, and you play with a wheel, yeah, maybe update it first just to save yourself a wrist injury. Some of the wheels that were affected were the Gran Turismo licensed ones as well. So just be careful out there.
Yeah,
I can vouch for a sim racing wrist injury with the steering wheel. Well, was it when I was playing R Factor and I had my force feedback turned way up? I was like, "Wow, that's really heavy!" And then hit a wall and it just jerked the wheel right out of my hands. That's no joke. That hurts.
Yeah, I got killed in the lead up to Daytona practice by a car, and I glitched in a wall. Had let go of the wheel, put my hands back on the wheel right as the wheel glitched and ripped around. And yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah.
So just be careful out there, folks.
It hurts wrists, fingers, palms. I mean, anything. All the way up to your elbows, it hurts at all. So
who says?
Do be careful.
It's dangerous. Also, last little bit of information following up on their, it was like 2 weeks of free race room access until next Sunday. So that's June 5th. If you're listening to this live, or if you're listening to this on repeat, hello. 50% of there will be 50% off of all race room tracks and cars until that date. So if you were taking advantage of the free week like I did and want to play more of this content, now's a good time to do it. Anyway, so the last 3 minutes of tonight's show, it's time for this week's esports roundup of the week.
Brought to you by the Gaming Athlete.
Head on over to thegamingathlete.com to learn more about how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. Once again, that's thegamingathlete.com. So, eNASCAR, who's going to take this one?
I think Jordan can enunciate the most, and he's more into the roundy-round stuff than I am.
I'll take that then. Yes, round 9 of the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series for the first time ever took place at the Worldwide Technology Raceway Gateway on Tuesday night. Obviously, the real NASCAR series is heading there for the first time in a couple of weeks. Or no, it's this week, actually. Cody Bias would start in pole position for Mode Motorsport alongside Casey Kerwin. 120 laps and 150 miles were ahead of the drivers, but Kerwin was quick to move his way by Bias. To take the lead early, soon after Graham. Yeah, I know. I wrote this and I'm struggling. soon after, Graham Bolin would run down and pass Kerwin himself with the 48 easily being the fastest car on the track in the opening stages. Pit stops would begin within the one-third to half race distance range, with most drivers opting to pit around the half race distance to do the race on one stop. The race leader, Graham Bolin, came in for his planned pit stop exactly on the halfway point, and it was probably the luckiest pit stop of anyone in eNASCAR history. Is just about 2 seconds after he got into the pits, a caution came out. And as you know, if a caution comes out and you're not on pit road, it closes. So he would have got a penalty if he'd been a little bit later. Under half the field had pitted at that time, but a lot of the ones that hadn't were forced to pit whilst the pit road was closed as they were about to run out of fuel. So it kind of mixed up the order for the ensuing restart. Bolin would maintain the lead thanks to his perfectly timed pit stop, with Keegan Leahy restarting alongside him with 56 laps to go. Leahy was the beneficiary of the jumbled up order due to the caution, but he clearly didn't have the pace to live with the lead group and began to fade through the order. Zach Novak would surge in the latter half of the race to move into second, but he wasn't quite able to live with the pace of Bolin out front. The second half of the race would mercifully run caution-free, with Bolin continuing to build a lead over Novak as the laps ticked away. Ultimately, Bolin would take victory in the 48 Charlotte Phoenix Camry by 2.5 seconds over second-place Zach Novak. The victory would be Bolin's second of his career in the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series and would be his first on an oval after winning at Watkins Glen last year.
I believe that's also Charlotte Phoenix's first win as a team.
It is indeed, yeah, new for this series and already winners, so it's going well. It's especially good when you get a hotshot rookie young driver like Graham Bolin in your team.
Yeah.
Third place would go to Logan Clampett with Malik Ray and Ryan Luser rounding out the top five. And next time out, the 2022 eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series will head to another new track for the first time. They'll be heading to the virtual Nashville Super Speedway on June 21st, so just under a month until the next eNASCAR action.
Well, there you go. So that brings us, just a couple of seconds to spare, to the end of another Simcast episode. Will we be back next week with... I'm not sure who's going to be on the show next week, honestly, because
it keeps changing all the time.
I will not. I will be out of town.
Yes.
So not Lewis.
Not Lewis.
That's all we can guarantee, folks.
Yep. Any final thoughts, gentlemen, before we close?
Hashtag eat more tacos, there just to aggravate Jordan.
I knew it. I was hoping we'd run out of time.
Now, but we have so.
For all of us here at the Simcast, have a good week, everyone, and thanks for tuning in.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.